Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Good evening, everyone. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to bring forth the Word of God. We continue in the series, Song of Songs. And it's insight into the Song of Songs. And the Song of Songs is the same book, the Song of Solomon. And we are now in chapter 5. And we know that this song was written as an allegory and giving figurative or symbolic messages to us. And we are seeing this song symbolizing Christ and the church. So we are going to go through this song and see what the Lord is saying to us today in chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, verse 1. It says, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. And this was the beloved speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. He's speaking. He's saying that he has come to his bride, the church. The aroma of Jesus is now in the church. His word has become sweet. Jesus is inviting the church to celebrate with him and be sustained. So Jesus is now so much a part of his bride. And he's inviting the bride to just celebrate with him and to be continuously be sustained by him. We have to come to understand that Christ Jesus is our source. And we have to look to him day by day for our daily sustenance. Verse 2 of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. The church, the bride, confesses that she's asleep. So she was in her sleeping state. She was sleeping, dreaming. But her heart is awake. And her heart hears the voice of her beloved King Jesus and him knocking at her heart's door to open to him. She heard him speaking to her beautiful words of endearment. He's saying that he has been kept out of her life for so long. And many times the Lord Jesus Christ comes and knocking at our heart's door. But many times we refuse to open to him. And right now, even during this season, he's knocking at the door of the hearts of his people. And he's saying, let me in. I want to come in. I want to fellowship with you. I want to have that relationship with you. So the Lord Jesus is calling the bride, the church, back into that state of relationship, partnership with him, walking in unity with him. The bride speaking, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? The bride, the church, has become self-centered, only thinking of her needs and not the needs of her beloved Jesus. We don't want to be self-centered. We want to be thinking of how can we impact the world with the gospel. We have to be thinking of how can we be the servants that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to be. We have to be thinking of how can I influence those people that I'm around daily. So we can't become self-centered. We can't be thinking about ourselves alone, but we have to be thinking about the vocation in which we are called and walk worthy of it. Verse 4, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. The bride, the church, even though asleep, but just a glance of his hand caused her heart to yearn for him. And even in our sleepy state as the body of Christ, there's something, there's a word that comes forth at times. There's a song that we hear, something that reminds us that we are to awake and to do what God has called us to do. We are to awake out of our slumber. Just a little glance of his hand caused her heart to yearn for him. There is a longing in the heart of the bride, a longing for King Jesus, a longing for Lord Jesus to be Lord over every area of our lives. Verse 5 said, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handle of the lock. The bride, the church, rose up. She got up from her sleep to welcome in the beloved Christ. But he had already left. Only the sweet spice and the aroma of his perfume resided on the door of the bride's heart. Only the memories of what it used to be. People of God, we don't want to go by what used to be. We want fresh encounter with our bridegroom. We want to have fresh revelation as to who he is, so we can walk out our calling and bring honor and glory to his name. We don't want to be thinking back what used to happen when. Many times we keep reminiscing and saying what used to happen when. But we want to come to that place to know that the Lord wants to give us fresh revelation, fresh insight into who he is, so we can go forth with love, sharing the love of Jesus, sharing that grace has come to his people, and sharing the truth of his word that will bring forth transformation in the hearts of his people. Verse 6 of Song of Solomon chapter 5 said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The bride speaking that she has opened her heart to her beloved King Jesus, but he had withdrawn himself and was gone. She sought, but could not find him. Called, but he did not answer. And many times we find ourselves in that situation. We feel like the Lord is far from us, but his words tell us that he's not far from us. He said if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. He said he's near to those that call upon him from a true heart. So when our hearts are truly inclined to him, we're going to find him. He's not far. But here the bride was seeking and could not find him. And she now was going into despair, wondering what's happening. I can't find him. And she called, but did not get any answer. Many times we're praying and we're praying over situations for years sometimes, and yet still we can't get any answer. But the Lord is saying to us today, persist, persist, persist in prayer and continue to seek him with our whole heart. For his words tell us that if we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him, and his word is true. So we want to know that our God is calling us and reminding us to be consistent in our search for him. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. The bride now speaking, the watchman. And the bride, the watchman there could mean that her own conscience now was warring against her. Her own conscience was warring against her. She was being dealt with cruelly because she now has been beaten up. She felt she has been beaten up, wounded. She has now gone into the world, conformed to the world and its system, that she has now been beaten up, wounded. Her dignity is stripped from her. And people of God, what will happen to us when we are conformed to the world is that our dignity will be stripped from us. We will be wounded by the world. The world means us no good. So that's why the word of God tells us, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when our minds are renewed by the word of God, then when our thoughts and our actions will be in alignment with the word of God, we will go forth with a clear conscience because we know that we are living according to the word of God. Verse 8 of Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. The bride, the church, is commanding the daughters of Zion, representing Israel, that if they find her beloved, if they find King Jesus, her beloved, to tell him that she is lovesick. She is lovesick. The bride now has become lovesick. She is yearning with love for her beloved Jesus. She is seeking, but is as if she cannot find him. She is yearning for him. And the Lord is calling us to reach to that place of yearning for him. As the deer pants after the water brook, so our soul should be panting after our Savior. He alone should be our heart's desire. We must desire him more than precious gold. We want to desire him more than any jewels, anything that is so valuable in this world. We want to value him and cherish him and desire him more than anything else. So we want to yearn for him. We want to call out to him. We want to walk in complete fellowship with him, loving him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Verse 9. What is thy beloved more than any beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than any beloved that thou dost so charge us? So now the daughters of Zion, of Jerusalem, now speaking. The daughters of Zion representing Israel, now asking the bride, the church, what about your beloved that is more than any other beloved that you are commanding us in this manner? So we see now, when we start to really seek the Lord, when we start to walk in humble obedience to him, when we start to represent him well, then we are going to have others looking on and saying, who is your beloved? We want to know him. Who is he different from any other? Because our lifestyle will be showing him, showing forth his glory and his praise, that others can't help it. They will have to see and notice that we are different. So the Lord is calling us, the bride of Christ, to walk as those that are set apart unto him, to walk in holiness, to walk in righteousness, to walk so that others will see Christ in us and come to glorify his name. We want to be the light that he has called us to be. He told us in his word that we are the light of the world. And when we shine that light, when we are showing forth his glory, others are going to be asking questions. So this is what they were asking the bride. Who is your beloved more than any other beloved? Oh, thou fearest among women. And she said, my beloved is more than any other beloved. The daughters of Zion now asking the bride, the church, what about her beloved that is more than another beloved that you are commanding us in this way to find your beloved? But look on her description. Look on the bride's description of her beloved. Verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Verse 11. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as raven. His eyes are as the doves, verse 12, by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His gaze is clear and penetrating. Verse 13, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Verse 14, his hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory, overlaid with sapphire. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So we see now the bride, the church, has come to a place of describing her beloved King Jesus in such a way that anyone would want to know him. And people of God, we have to come to that place of knowing Jesus personally, that when we speak about him, others will know that surely he is the answer. He is the one for them also. We want to speak with confidence. We want to speak with boldness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the bride, the church, began to describe her beloved King Jesus. He is pure. He is pure and beautiful. He is the most distinguished among 10,000. So there's no one like our Jesus, no one like our Savior. He is the most distinguished among 10,000. His countenance is breathtaking. He is beautiful to us. His gaze is penetrating. His words are pure and sweet. And as the psalmist said, his word is sweeter than honey to our lips. We want to be able to tell others of our King Jesus. Tell about how great he is, how wonderful he is. He is our balm in Gilead. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is our light. He is our life. He is our hope. He is our resting place. We need to be able to speak and speak with such love and adoration for our King. His provision are always sufficient and costly. She continues to describe her King. He is strong and beautiful, and his countenance is magnificent. His words are most pleasant. He is completely lovely. My beloved, my friend, I present to you, O Israel. My beloved, my friend, this is the one I present to you. We want to be like the psalmist in Psalm 27:4. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That should be our desire, people of God, to dwell in that place, to dwell in that secret place with him. He said in his words, abide in me, and let my words abide in you, and we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done. We shall be sustained because we are abiding in that relationship with him. So we have to be able to tell the world, to tell those that are looking on, by the life that we live and the words that we declare, how beautiful our Savior is, how glorious he is, how wonderful he is, How great are his thoughts towards us. His plans towards us are to give us good, are to do us good and not harm. His plans towards us are to give us hope and a future. We have to speak of Jesus Christ like we truly know him. That's why we have to get to know him through his word. And he's calling us back to his word. We want to feast again on his word. We want to meditate again on the word of God. For his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. His words illuminates us and show us the path that we ought to take. So we want to come back in fellowship with the word. We want to eat of the word again and be filled up in him. We want to know that his word is our source. His word is our sustenance. For his word is spirit and it is life. His word quicken us, make us alive, make us want to draw nigh to him. His words give us that unction to press even in these trying times. So we want to be people who know our Savior and will be able to describe him in such a way that others will fall in love with him also. The love that we have for him will be contagious, that others will want that love also. Others will want to express that love and admiration for our Savior. He's calling us the bride. He's wooing us into that deep relationship with him. We want to be able to tell, to describe our beloved King Jesus in such a way that the world looking on, others looking on, will want to know him as well. We want to continue to gaze upon him, to love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We want to show love to others as well so that others will know that Christ is living in us, that Christ's love is in us. Then the world will know, as Jesus said, that you are my disciples when we show love one for another. And we can't say we love God and don't love our brothers. So we have to show the love of Christ wherever we go so that others will see him in us and come to glorify his great name. So we want to just pay attention to this song as this song was written by King Solomon, that's depicting our Lord Jesus Christ in these verses as our beloved King Jesus, our bridegroom, who chose to come to earth to die for us. Today, because of his death, because of his resurrection, his ascension, and because of where he's now seated, you and I have hope. We have hope. We are not like the world who is hopeless, but our hope is in King Jesus. So we must be able to tell others of the hope that we have in him. When we sanctify him in our hearts, when he's set apart in our hearts, then we are able to tell of his goodness, of his grace, and of his mercies. We want to be that bridegroom, that bride that loves our bridegroom, King Jesus, in such a way that that love will be contagious. Those who meet us will know that we have been in contact with him. We want to walk as children of light. We want to walk in the light of his word, glorifying his name wherever we go. Our lifestyle should be a lifestyle of honor to him, honor in his name, because his name alone is worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. We want to know that our King Jesus is strong. He is the Almighty God, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly than we ask or think through his mighty power. We want to know him in such a personal way that nothing will stop us from going forth with him the full way. We don't want to be half-hearted in our walk with him, but we want to be wholeheartedly committed to him. He said it in his words that we cannot have two masters. Either we're going to love one and hate the other. We can't have Jesus and the world, which represents the material things, mammon. So we want to cling to our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to wait upon him. We want to be of good courage. These are trying times, but in the midst of it, Christ is in the midst of it. He is in the midst of us. His words remind us, and we shall not be moved. So let us be people who are walking in the light of his word, who are representing him well. We want to represent him well with the life that we live, so that those who come in contact with us will know that we have been with our Savior. So we want to be like this bride in this chapter, in chapter 5, the bride who is now willing and ready to describe her king, her beloved king. He is pure, he is beautiful, the most distinguished among 10,000. His countenance is breathtaking. Whenever we see him, oh, we just want to have more and more of him. So we want to see him in his exalted position in our lives. We want to see him high and lifted up. We want to see him so that as the more we see him, the more we love him. And the Holy Spirit is with us to reveal more of Jesus to us. He's here and he's the one who witness and testify of Jesus to us. So he is willing to show us more of our King. And as we yield to him, we will find that we get into a deeper relationship with Jesus. We want to yield to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to our heart. We want to walk in fellowship with him. We don't want to grieve him away, but we want to admit him in every area of our lives. So we don't want to some areas of our lives to be set up off limit from him. But we want every area of our lives to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit's move in our lives. So we want to be people who are obedient to the word and not forsaking what God has said to us, but be ready and willing to hear what he says and be ready to be doers of the word. We can't be just hearers of the word, but the Lord at this time is calling the church into a close relationship with him. For too long, we have been estranged, doing our own thing, off on our own tangent, doing our own thing. But God is saying, come back to me into that deep, sweet relationship where you now can be that bride that will represent our Lord Jesus Christ well. We want to be that church, the church without spots or wrinkle, the glorious church that will go forth honoring the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want the world to be looking on and wondering, who is that church? Or what is that church? Or who does that church represent? But we want them to know that we represent our Lord Jesus Christ and represent him well. So we just thank God for his words this evening. And we just thank God for this song, one of this best song of Solomon. And we just thank God for what he's doing right now. And we're going to close in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people who have received your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll continue to keep us by your word as we look to you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word, Thy Word is a Lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy Word is a Lamp.